Next on Abounding Grace, we turn to a chapter in Genesis that really reveals what God is wanting to do in our lives.
God wants to lead you. Follow him. And acknowledge that you're following his lead. Think about today. You're here right now, listening to this Bible study, in this room, on the podcast, by the will of God. You are here because God led you here. Give him the credit. Oh no, Ed, I changed on my calendar. I put a little reminder. And like, yeah, God put all that in your heart. You're here by the will of God. You're here wherever you are, wherever the sole of your feet touch, God has given you. So take advantage of it and use it.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Hey, great to be back with you. This is Abounding Grace. At the present time, we're going through Genesis, and we aim to complete chapter 24 today. Pastor Ed Taylor will take one final look at the story of Isaac and Rebekah. You can't help but see God's hand in leading in this remarkable love story. And today, we'll see how God so masterfully works in our lives. He is leading. The question is, are we following?
Here's another way to think about it, you note takers. Here's another way to think about it as you're praying and seeking the Lord, trying to discover his will, wanting to discover his will. If, as you're praying and seeking the Lord, if the request is wrong, God will say no. If the timing is wrong, God will say slow. If you are wrong, God will say grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, you know what God says? Go. And I thought that was great. I don't know where I picked that up, but somebody smart said that. The request is wrong, no. The timing is wrong, slow. If you're wrong, you need to grow. But if everything lines up, it's time to go. That's where the servant is. It was an impossibility. Even as he laid a fleece before the Lord, he laid a request. Even the request was impossible. And yet God lined it all up. And Rebekah showed up at just the right time. God does want, all of this is to say, because even the explanation can feel a little complicated. He was like, man, that's a lot to remember. Okay, let's make it very simple. Let's just simplify the whole thing. God wants to lead you. Follow him. And acknowledge that you're following his lead. Think about today. You're here right now listening to this Bible study, in this room, on the podcast, by the will of God. You are here because God led you here. Give him the credit. Oh, no, Ed, I changed on my calendar. I put a little reminder. And like, yeah, God put all that in your heart. You're here by the will of God. You're here wherever you are, wherever the sole of your feet touch, God has given you. So take advantage of it and use it. Well, we learn about the family of Rebekah now in chapter 24, verse 29. Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran out to meet the man by the well. We're going to learn that Laban is a greedy, shrewd man. And so it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Laban is a conniver and a trickster. And he hears the story, thinks she might be taken away, and he wants the gifts, he wants the treasures. He tells the servant to come into the house, he's prepared it. Again, if you want to follow the picture here, the typology for a moment, Laban sees the gifts, and he desires them, and he wants them. That's exactly one of the key reasons why God has given gifts to the church, so that it might provoke jealousy in a watching world. That the world might see in the church, among believers, what they can find nowhere else. They don't experience. What's experienced among believers is not experienced in this world. And here Laban sees this man that comes with gifts and he wants them. As we exercise the gifts, it's to not so much to stun everybody and show off and draw attention to ourselves, but rather in our worship of God, he uses that worshipful heart through the exercise of our gifts so that it might bring him glory and attention. I think of how many of you are encouragers. And as God uses your encouragement in the world, it stuns people around. They may never tell you this, but you can be assured you're stunning to people in your encouragement. Why? Because Jesus Christ in you is stunning. You just get to be a part of it. But the encouragement of the Lord is so beautiful to us. It's so wonderful that he has a word in due season. It's so wonderful that he would bring through the Holy Spirit to remembrance all the things that we've been taught. It's so wonderful that he would take a book and give it to us as a living, breathing. The Bible is alive and powerful, and it's speaking to us. How is it living and breathing? But by as illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And as you live out in your giftings of encouragement or helps or mercy, I think of how many of you are so merciful in a world that lacks mercy. Just dog-eat-dog world. And it creates a thirst. Even as God would tell us that God is turning his attention to the Gentiles to provoke jealousy among the Jews. It's like, what are you? We're God's chosen people, and why? What's happening here? And God is using the church and the grace poured out in us. Well, verse 32, the man came to the house. He unloaded the camels, provided straw and feed for the camels, and watered to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And the food was set before him to eat, but he said, I won't eat until I've told you about my errand. He said, speak on. Well, I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly. He's become great, has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master has made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. Verse 38, you shall go to my father's house, to my kindred, take a wife for my son. And I said to my master, perhaps the woman will not follow me. But he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send an angel with you, prosper your way, should take a wife for my son from my kindred and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my kindred, for if they will not give her to you, then you'll be released from my oath. This day I came to the well and said, O Lord, God of my master, Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I will go, behold, I'll stand by the well of water. Shall come to pass when the virgin comes out to draw water, I say to her, please give me a little water for your pitcher to drink. And she says to me, verse 44, drink, and I'll draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking, all that was in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please, let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I'll give your camels a drink also. And I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, nay, her son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, this thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad. Here's Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard the words that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the ground. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, gold, jewelry of gold and clothing, gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. We call this in our modern day language, sharing your testimony. That's what he does. He says, do I have a story for you? You need to know what God has just done. And I want to tell you all about it. I want to tell you about where I came from. I want to tell you what God is doing. And I want to tell you what the future looks like. That's your testimony. Where did you come from? Some of us, our testimony, we came from a very difficult place. And then what did God do to save you? Now what is God doing and where is he taking us? That's your testimony. And as you share your testimony, it's a very powerful thing. It's exciting to share what God is doing in your life. It's exciting to share what God has done in your life. And it's exciting to anticipate that God is not done with you yet. Listen, how do you know? How can I say definitively now, as your friend, as your brother, as your pastor, how can I say definitively that God is not done with you yet? Very easy. You're alive. God is not done with you yet. You are alive. And because of the life that God has given you, it belongs to him, and you are duty bound to surrender your life and serve the Lord all the days you have left. You have no choice. Now, by saying that, of course, you do have a choice. But again, you can have benefits of choices or consequences of choices. That's your choice. And I'm learning, I want benefits. I've learned over the years to use this language when it comes to benefits and consequences. I've learned to say and live in my life, I would much rather have the consequences of obedience than the consequences of disobedience, because I've experienced both. And I'd much rather enjoy the consequences of obedience, which often we say are the benefits of obedience. But by way of illustration, consequences of obedience are far better. Sometimes obedience will be painful. I was just texting a friend of mine today about a situation that's going on. And as I was texting him, I said, you know, I made the decision and I knew there would be a cost. And I made it nonetheless. I know it's from the Lord because I made a decision and I knew it would cost me. I know it's from the Lord. And Jesus would teach us the same thing. He says, you know, you need to learn to count the cost. And to count the cost of obedience, count the cost of disobedience. I just encouraging. I can't help but think that if we were putting this to film and put some music behind it, that the music would build and build, and you won't believe this, and then you won't believe this. And here we are. And here, the Lord of my God, verse 48, who led me in the way of truth. He was given the direction and he was following what he felt was the word from Abraham. Like that was the word from his master. But now he can look back and go, oh, I know the Lord led me. Here it is right here. I'm here. I mean, think about how did I get here? Who are you? Where'd you come from? Like I'm here because God led me here. And the testimony of Laban, even if he was conniving, even if he just wants more stuff, God used that to bring Rebekah home to Isaac. Just learn to allow the Lord to do what he wants to do and trust him. Verse 54 now, come back. He and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night, and they rose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. And you can see things change overnight, right? But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, don't hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. Earlier they said they could go. She could go right away. Now they're hesitant. Let's stay about 10 days. Some versions say 10 months. That it's significant here. And his answer is, don't hinder me. I am confident this is from the Lord. Do not hinder me. You in this coming year, I am confident of this. So many of you in this coming year are going to be used in ways you've never been used before. God is going to be taking you in places you've never gone before, giving you confirmation and direction and words from his scripture. He's going to be doing things in your life, calling you to lead, delivering you, breaking shackles and bondages. Like God has great things. It is his pleasure and his goodwill to give you the kingdom. It's there. You're going to experience it. And then you're going to hear from family and friends in this world system. No, not so much. Just 10 more days. Just 10 more days. You can, it's almost like the whisper of the devil. Just 10 more days. I'll give it to you. You can, but 10 more days, 10 more weeks, 10 more months. Go take care of this. Make sure you go and take care of the land you bought that you never saw. Or make sure you go check the cattle that you bought that you didn't inspect. Like, there's always a convenient reason not to go forward with the will of God. Let's just set aside the idea, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, you do know what the will of God is. Now do it. Okay, I'm ready, Ed. Let's do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to, okay. And then immediately, whether it's your flesh, the world, or the devil himself, just 10 more days. You can wait 10 days. Just give it some time. Think this through. Or you may have a friend that, are you sure? Give it some time. Again, you're also going to have to discern where there's a need for praying and seeking the Lord and being wise. I really don't have the answer for all of that for you. You say, well, if I should pray and wait on the Lord, how long? I have no idea. Should I pray and wait on the Lord? I don't know. I don't know. The Lord is working with you differently than he's working with me. I know principles, but I really don't know. I'm going to pray for you. So maybe he'll show you or show me. But I do know this, the cry of the world, the cry of your flesh, the cry of the devil is, you don't have to be so radical. Or you don't have to be so dedicated. Or you don't have to be so faith-filled. You don't have to be so crazy. Don't be so crazy. The devil has no problem with you owning a Bible if you never read it. You can have 10 Bibles. You can build a house of Bibles. That doesn't threaten the devil, you know. What threatens the devil is a believer with one paragraph that she reads and believes it. That threatens the kingdom of darkness. The devil is not entirely concerned that you're in fellowship tonight if your body is here but your heart's not here. That's not threatening. You probably have a little bit more threat to him because you're closer to the things of God. You're moving forward and up. But if your heart's not in, or you're in compromise right now, or you're one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and you're still wanting to play games, that's not a big threat to the kingdom of darkness. No, the threat is, I'm all in. I've been away, I've been wayward, I've been a prodigal, I've been in sin, I've been half-hearted, I've been holding back on God, I've been hypocritical, you name it, but no more. Now that's a threat. And there's always someone saying, just 10 more days. It's not so much. You don't have to be that much. You don't have to go that far. There's always some little compromise. And the Spirit of God, the servant, representing in a type of the Spirit. You know what the Spirit says? Don't you hinder me. Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't hinder the work of God in your life. Go for it. Go for it. Obey him. And again, this is the will of God. They've already affirmed it. Abraham's servant already knows it. Rebecca already knows it. They've already affirmed it. After a nice, you know, some food and some hanging out, it changed their mind. And then in verse 57, so they said, we'll call the young woman and ask her personally. And they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man of God? And she said, I will go. I will go. Rebecca represents the, in typology in this chapter, Rebecca represents the church. So the response of the church is, I'm going. I want all that God has for me. Take me back to the Father. I want all that the Father has for me. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister and her nurse, Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebecca, said to our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s. May your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. And Rebecca and her maids arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer, Lahai Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went to meditate in the field and in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And Rebecca lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. She said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it's my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all these things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into to his mother, Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The bridegroom appears. He's on his way to worship alone. He's out. Isaac, we saw this last time very briefly, but Isaac is that brother that's meditative, waiting on the Lord, sees at a distance, is excited. He's by the way of the Bear, Lahai Roy, in that area of the south. This is where Hagar, remember, came and wept. It's a place where it was named the one who lives and sees. This is where Hagar was reminded that God saw her in her distress. This is where Isaac learns now God sees him in his singleness. God sees him. God knows. And Isaac was taking time to meditate. And when he lifts up his eyes, he sees the blessing of God coming to him. It's just a beautiful chapter of what God is wanting to accomplish in our lives. It's just the timing of the study of Genesis has been beautiful as it ties together with Acts. It's unbelievable what God has in store for us. It is God's good. Just listen to the words of Jesus where I want to end. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Some of you just need to be asking for what this looks like in your life. What do you have for me, Lord? The kingdom of God always inside. Jesus has given, you are a part of the kingdom. You are. The kingdom of God lives in you. The rulership of God, the authority of God, the dominion of God. But now, what is it that he wants to give us? What do you have for me, Lord? What do you want from me? And I want to walk in your ways.
Today on Abounding Grace, we've listened into a portion of Pastor Ed Taylor's study in Genesis. If you joined us late or would just like to give this a second listen, go online to aboundinggraceradio.com or oneplace.com. You'll also find Pastor Ed's teachings on the Calvary Church app. Pastor Ed is back with us now, and Ed, I think this lesson on discovering the will of God is helpful on so many levels. Christians often wrestle with what God's will is for their lives. And perhaps someone listening right now is faced with a big decision and wondering what to do. Any final words of counsel that might be of some help?
Well, whenever I have a big decision, I want to bathe it in prayer, of course. I want to filter it through the Word of God, and I want to wait. I don't want to make any big decisions hastily, but I want to search the Scriptures. I want to look for the open doors and the closed doors. I want to look for the affirmation of the Holy Spirit. I want that peace that passes all understanding. But even as I was sharing with a brother today, I was telling him, hey, steps of faith, they require action. And ultimately, whatever big decision there is, it's going to require action. If God has brought you to a decision, then if you do it, it requires faith. And if you don't do it, it requires faith. God has brought you to a deeper place of trusting him and just knowing that he's with you, strengthening you and helping you. And be careful, be prayerful, be careful. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths.
That is very helpful. Thanks again, Pastor Ed. You know, we enjoy hearing from our listeners. Even just a quick hello telling us the station you listen to means a lot. Let us know how we can pray for you, too. You can email us through the website at aboundinggraceradio.com. And please remember, Abounding Grace is made possible through the support of our listeners. We simply can't do this alone. When you give a donation of $25 or more to Abounding Grace, you're invited to request a copy of Pastor Ed's book, Ordinary Servant. You know, no matter your background or years as a Christian, God can and wants to use you. You'll learn how in this wonderful book. You might even want to go through this with your small group at church. Again, we'll send you Ordinary Servant by Ed Taylor with our thanks for a gift of $25 or more today. Reach us at 877-30-GRACE or visit calvaryco.com. Grace.store. If you're not interested in the Book of the Month, but would just like to make a donation to the ministry, go online to AboundingGraceradio.com and click Donate. And be sure to join Pastor Ed Taylor next time for more teaching from Genesis. That's right here on Abounding Grace.
This is Amazing Grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church, Colorado, here in Aurora.